Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
We don't like children are. I'm so sorry. I did not expect to cry over that. But children are so amazing and they're so sweet.
And Liz.
Because you don't know what you don't know. And when you become a parent, you don't know a lot. So I just feel like I'm learning so much about sleeping, so much about James.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly
and Liz.
Happy Tuesday.
Kel, I have a question for you as it is late March.
How am I on my book club?
How is Boys on the Boat going?
Let's record. I'm ready. Let's record.
Are you?
I will be ready. Let's record next Tuesday.
Can't wait.
I am enjoying the book. Here's the thing. I'm having joint pain. I'm just kidding. That's not going to be my excuse. My kids are now at the age where you can't drive and listen to something with them. And I know like other people are going to be like, oh, you just got to that. I don't know.
I
don't know. Like they would just sit there and like, I would listen to my stuff. And now it's all talking all the time. So you're asking me when I am alone, not working and can listen to it.
No, what I'm asking you is to stop listening to The Toast. I'm asking you to stop listening to The Skinny Confidential. I'm asking you to stop listening to The Carpool. And I'm asking you to finish the book club book. That's what I'm asking you to do.
Okay, I'll finish it. I'm enjoying it. I'm almost done.
Perfect. Where are you in the book?
I have like 4 hours left.
Okay.
And I'll ramp up my speed a little bit. I will be ready to record next Tuesday.
Okay, perfect. I was just making sure we were on track.
On track.
Because we're not. We're actually late, but that's fine.
Well, I think like the term mid-March is like very subjective.
Well, now we're going to be recording in April. Or it's going to be coming out in April, so.
No.
No. When's it coming out? Oh, next Thursday? That episode?
Yeah.
So okay, so late March.
So you look Shelly.
Late March. Cool. We have, sorry.
I was like, I what, are Dion. You tired?
I had Dion. Actually, sleep training's been going so well. James has been sleeping through the night.
What?
Through the night. And I can't believe I didn't do this. I didn't do this earlier. So in case you missed it, I did sleep training with James. I worked with a sleep trainer. Her name is Molly. And I think what I've really loved about having someone to guide me through it is it's like, okay, hey, we're going to St. Patrick's Day parade. His naps are going to be off. What do I do? And she tells me exactly what I need to do to like set him up for success. And I'm just like learning so much because you don't know what you don't know. And when you become a parent, you don't know a lot. So I just feel like I'm learning so much about sleeping, so much about James, so much about what he needs. And within a few days, he has been sleeping through the night.
Well, I'm so glad that you've had success.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like exactly like what I said was going to happen.
Yeah. So happy. So happy we're moving in a positive direction. So where was I going with that though? Sleep training's going well.
But you're still tired because you're pregnant.
I'm still tired because I'm pregnant and just, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
I was going to go into another direction, but
let's just talk about
it.
That's okay. If feel free to circle back, but I'm going to move on to what you can expect on today's episode. Give you a roadmap, if you will, because it's kind of jam-packed. I'm actually very excited about today's episode. So we are going to have a millennial word. We have little dumps. And then we're going into a very special interview with a celebrity, with my Roman Empire.
Who is it?
Naptime Kitchen.
Yeah.
Can I say something so random?
Sure.
Okay. Do you know the question? Like, if you could have anyone on dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who would yours be?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I don't really like that question because I don't know. Yeah. But they like asked a bunch of adults this question and they asked a bunch of kids this question. And I'm going to cry. And the kids all said their parents.
I know. The parents were all like, oh.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm literally crying.
They all said like celebrities or, you know.
Yeah. And the kids just all said their parents.
Mom and dad.
We don't like children are. I'm so sorry. I did not expect to cry over that. But children are so amazing and they're so sweet.
Yeah, they're the best.
Oh my gosh.
The greatest thing in the world.
So anyway, but I'd rather have dinner with Naptime Kitchen. And we're
I'd want my kids there too. The thing about going to dinner with Naptime Kitchen, it's like she would tell me to bring the whole family.
Yeah.
Like, we'd all be there.
Yeah. Love her. So she's going to be coming on. We're going to be talking about all the stuff, all the things. Industry news.
DTV. Well, no. We're talking about something actually very specific, not all the stuff and all the things, because Naptime Kitchen had a major...
I know. Well, I was going to maybe think we could wait till like...
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. We'll wait for that. We'll wait for that.
She's dropped something pretty cool that's like very on brand. It's like what we've kind of been talking about. I want to get her take on like what she's doing for Easter.
Yeah, no, I want to talk Easter tips, Easter tricks. We have, make sure you stay tuned, because we, Elizabeth and I, have such an iconic Easter hack. Are you going to do it this year?
No.
He's a little young.
He's 9 months old. Not even buying an Easter basket. No. Okay, well, let's get right into the millennial word of the day, where we learn Gen Z slang so we can be less lame. And so I found this one. It kind of goes along with the one I did last time, which was acting your wage. And these are all related to the workplace. So I just kind of want to like get some of these out of the way. Rage applying.
Rage applying?
Mm-hmm.
Spell it.
Rage space applying.
Like APPLYING.
Mm-hmm.
We should do a spelling bee segment.
Okay.
Rage applying. I have no... Oh, that's when you like apply to jobs out of rage. It's when, yes, you apply to jobs out of rage.
You're mad at your job. You apply somewhere else.
It's a riddle.
It's therapeutic and petty.
It is therapeutic and petty.
Snail girl era.
Snail girl?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be when you're going slow.
Slow living meets career girls. Think less race, more grace. I don't really
these understand that. They're never going to get raises.
Shift shock.
It's when you start like work a different shift and like it's the vibes are off.
No. Well, kind of. It's like when you switch jobs and everything's upside down. So it could be like when you get a new shift, but I feel like it's like when you get a new job and then you're like trying to like learn everything and it's like very overwhelming.
I hate the first couple days of a new job.
You feel like you're just...
You feel drowning. Like an idiot. You have no idea what you're doing. And then everyone's like, how was your first day? And it's like, it sucked. I just like sat next... I just shadowed this like person and I had to make small talk all day. It is the... Starting a new job is the worst.
It's so bad.
I hope I never have to do it again, honestly.
Yeah, no, I won't. Okay, last one. Bare minimum Mondays.
Yeah, it's like when you do the bare... I'm really concerned about the Gen Z and their work ethic.
I mean, these other ones are like lazy girl jobs, bore out, quiet quitting.
And see, here's the difference. I think millennials, we're like over here. Like there's so many like tropes and like even like content creators on millennials who are like truly like giving themselves anxiety because of how much they work and care for their jobs.
Yeah.
And the Gen Zs are like, make it a slow Monday.
Yeah.
Just like, don't go like, I'm in my snail girl era.
Yeah. And they're like trying to make like being lazy and insufficient at your job like, I'm just like in my snail girl era, like a thing.
Do you think Sydney and Grayson are like this?
I don't know.
In like their professional world?
No, yeah. I don't know. I don't think so.
I hope not.
But like, I also think they're working different jobs. Like, I'm just imagining the first job that I worked. It was you get to your cubicle, you sit there for 8 hours. You leave, like sit in front of a computer. It was very much that. So, and it, a lot of times it felt like you were doing not the most important work. So I could see if like you're working a job like that to be a little bit more like this. Not that I think I was, but I don't know. Sydney sells cars. There's hustle and bustle.
Oh yeah. There's hustle and bustle.
So, and she had, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Well, I think Kate's ready for us. So if you want to like turn on the things, we can just get right into the meat and potato. Okay. Did you pause me? You can get right into the meat and potatoes of this episode of the Carpool Podcast.
I wish I would have paused it so I don't have to hear you say taters. Today's episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. We all know that there are things in life that you have to compromise on. Parents know that better than anyone. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor simply because you've been going to them for years and just have never really gotten around to finding a new one that you actually like. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search, compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is just between 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. So go to ZocDoc.com/carpool and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/carpool. ZocDoc.com/carpool.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, and Kate, are you there?
I'm here.
Sorry, that was the world's worst intro.
Okay, Kate.
Oh, Kate, do we have you? Are you live? Do we have you? Ew. Sorry, that was so embarrassing. Anyway, Kate, welcome to the welcome back to the Carpool Podcast.
It is a pleasure, as always. Yeah, always a pleasure to be here.
No, basically, I mean, Kate's always coming across my desk in different ways, shapes, and forms. But most recently, I guess, like, I don't know if, like, the Instagram algorithm just banned me from seeing this, but I had no idea you were coming out with this ebook called Take Them a Meal Manual, a collective guide for feeding friends.
Amazing.
And I'm like, it's giving love your neighbor. Because mm-hmm. like we're over here talking about like doing that exact same thing on a much like smaller, not as well done capacity. Like just the idea of it. Like us thinking like we invented the idea of taking somebody a meal.
Yeah.
And Kate's like, yeah, I've been working on this like manual for like months. Yeah. I'm like so stupid.
Don't worry. I didn't come up with it either.
But like yes. So good. So you launched this and it's free.
Yes, it is free. It was really just kind of a passion. I bet y'all feel the same way. It is very fun to create something and just be able to like give it to people. I bet that's how it feels a lot with your car
totally.
Tours where you're like, this is just, you can just go watch it. Like it's, you don't have to do anything. You can just go and get the information that you need. And so this was like very, very fun. I mean, I owe a ton to my assistant, Jess, who is really, really good at taking tons of information and like culling it and organizing it, because she did that part of the project. And then Ella, who works on our team, made it pretty.
So it looks amazing.
It does
to them.
Yeah, it looks so good. And I totally agree. I mean, I think, you know, like you have, I think it's important to look at the content creators you follow and look at like who's giving free content, because like they're in it for the right reasons. And like I also love, like, one of the best pieces of like career advice I ever got was like, make your free content so good so they like are like, if this is how good the free stuff is, like imagine what the paid stuff is. And so I mean, kind of like, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I've been a Home Reset like stan. I do it like, I think I do about 1.5 times a year. And like, it's incredible. And like, that's a paid resource, but it's like, look at all the free stuff you're getting. Mm-hmm. And like, same thing with our car buying course. Like we have so many free resources for car buying. So like, you know, the consultations in the course are incredible. Mm-hmm. Or I would like never put a paywall in front of it. You know?
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, this new manual, I went on the website, got sent straight to my email. I'm so excited to just have it now in my pocket. I've already actually made one of the recipes. Spoiler.
Which one?
I'm going to get to it.
Oh, what'd you make?
I guess I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
Oh, she's dragging it out. Okay.
I'm literally in the grocery store parking lot being like, what am I going to cook for dinner tonight? And I thought, oh, Kate launched this. Like, let me see what the meals are. I'm like scrolling down. I was in a carby mood. So I made the cheesy chicken spaghetti casserole.
Oh, yeah. You told me that.
And it was delicious. And I've never made chicken spaghetti. And I was so mad at myself though, because as soon as I was making it, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why didn't I double it and give it to the next person?
Yeah.
Cause like, especially with a casserole, like you're already you're truly already doing it. Like if I just would have bought double the ingredients, I could have easily brought this to like the kid's daycare. I could have brought it to you. I could have given it to Tyler's grandma. Like, why didn't I just double it and give it to the next person? What's wrong with me?
Right. Or like even frozen it. But frozen it. I want to back up before you like just like get too deep into it. I think that the name of the of this free resource kind of explains what it is. But Kate, so the idea is that it's just, how many recipes are there?
There in this is 40 recipes. And then there's like a link in the document to take you to a spreadsheet that has like another like 150. Wow. We had so many submissions, which was really, really cool. We basically made like a Google form and just asked people to submit, and they had to submit. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it if you had it like written on an index card. Like, it needed to be able to link to a recipe so that people could like go to the recipe easily, print it, you know, all of that stuff. We were trying to make it very user-friendly. And we got so many, we were like, okay, well, we can't, I don't think we should make a PDF with 150 recipes. That probably like defeats the purpose and makes it too overwhelming. But we just like took somewhere, you know, if they were submitted more than once, we knew like, oh, this must be a good one. And my favorite part is that under each recipe, so I know like people aren't looking at it right now, but they're categorized, and then under each recipe is a little note from the person that submitted the recipe. And they say either like what they take with it when they give it to somebody, or like why they love making it. They kind of give a little bit of why this is their go-to meal to take to people. And so I just felt like this would be a really fun resource, because you're getting a list of recipes that you know people have had success with. Mm. Either they've personally taken it, or they've received it and it was like so good that it became a meal that they wanted to take to others. And I was hoping that it would just, again, like take a little bit of the pressure off of what it looks like to take somebody a meal. And I did want to say that the document starts with we have four take them a meal mantras.
Okay, we need to get into those because they're amazing.
And so I really hope on my Instagram that I'm helping people like see how they can do this, but also making it feel like you don't have to do everything. It doesn't have to be perfect. So the first one is you don't have to homemake everything. So normally my go-to is to homemake one thing, like the creamy chicken enchiladas or a spaghetti casserole or something. And then I usually do store-bought cookies. I do a bagged salad, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I say people eat three meals a day. And so that is my way of saying like, hey, you don't have to give them dinner. Like, you can show up with muffins and a coffee and really, really serve. Like, I'm imagining if I was a new mom and somebody dropped by with a latte and some sort of food for my feral toddlers, I would be like so, so grateful.
No, I love example, this is like what stopped me in my tracks. It goes, think outside the box and have fun with it. If the family has kids, you could provide some pre-made PBJs, sliced fruit, and a treat.
Yeah.
Like, if someone dropped, I would cry if someone dropped off some washed berries and a peanut butter and jelly for George and Hattie.
Yes.
Like, I would be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so simple, it was right in front of you, but just even just putting the idea or giving permission to think, it doesn't always have to be this like elaborate to do.
Yeah, I always, since I had James and a lot of people gave me like dinners or lunch type food, now and one person gave me a breakfast. I send everyone a breakfast now because I was so thankful. I mean, I was thankful for what everyone sent me, but like I had so much dinner food. And I used, like, I ate the same breakfast for so many days in a row because I'm also not cracking an egg when I'm, you know, freshly postpartum. Like, you need every meal.
Totally. Okay. Yes. You can, now that we got that off our chest, you can move on to three.
No, absolutely. Okay. Third one is repetition is great. I feel like as the person making the meal, you might feel like, golly, I am taking everybody the same thing. But you've got to remember that you're taking it to a lot of different people. It's not like you're giving the same person the same meal over and over and over again. So if you have one or two things that are, you're just like rock star, you can make it in your sleep, you always double it, like whatever it is, and you just take that to everybody, like that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to feel like you need to have 16 different things that you take to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you got, like for me, people want my creamy chicken enchiladas. And so that's normally, I've almost gotten myself in a hole with that one where like, that's what people normally want. But I'm like, you know what? I can make them in my sleep. People love them. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of my go-tos right now. And then the fourth, this one is huge. And this one was definitely taught to me by my mom. And that is, the freezer is your friend. If you have a meal in your freezer, then you basically always have a meal that you could give somebody. And I think a lot of the times, half the battle is like, if you know somebody, you're like, oh gosh, like, what am I going to make? When am I going to find the time? All of those things. But I normally just am like, okay, what's in my freezer already? And gift it. And so, kind of to your point, Kelly, where you were saying earlier, I, as much as I can, I'm trying to, if I'm making something for my family, I'm trying to double it and putting an extra one in the freezer. And sometimes that just feeds my own family on a rainy day. But oftentimes it's just great to be like, oh, okay, I can now, like, I have something in the freezer if I know of somebody that needs it.
No, it's so smart. And it's so true, because also I think in your audience and our audience, it's, you know, this sounds like really good and you want to do that. We all have these great intentions. But even if the person you want to bring a meal to is going through a lot, you're also going through a lot. So, like, sometimes, like, I'll say, oh, I got to get to that. Like, I've got to make them a meal. I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And then life happens. So, like, no, set yourself up for success. And either, you're right, if you don't have the bandwidth to do a full meal, bring her a coffee or make PBJs or look in your freezer. I think they're such good, tangible tips. And I just, like, love, this has just been, like, so on, like, my mind and my heart, like just this theory of, like, loving your neighbor and just getting some community and just, like, doing kind things for people. And I think that a meal is so thoughtful. So, two, like, here are two, like, meal etiquette questions I have for you.
Okay.
Number one is, well, I guess it's kind of the same question, but, like, who do you feel like, how well do you think you have to know a person to bring them something homemade? Or do you not think it's weird, like, you'd bring it to your, like, to someone you barely know? Or do you feel like, oh gosh, like, they don't know my kitchen. Like, they might think, like, a homemade lasagna for me is weird.
Okay. Well, funny. Two years ago, I did bring chili to somebody new. And I really kind of always regretted it because we didn't know each other well. And I thought, she has no idea, like, if she should trust this chili. Chili was kind of a bold one.
Chili is fall. So, you know, bold.
It was a little bold, but I think that, like, so I did kind of regret that. This week I brought someone a meal in our neighborhood that I didn't know as well. And I did store-bought soup, like, I, you know, good store-bought soup. And then I cut and washed fruit for the kids and did, like, store-bought cookies. So I feel like I kind of towed the line a little bit. That's, like, you don't know me super well. So I feel like if I don't know them, I do lean a little bit more store-bought, or I would print out the recipe and give them the recipe when I give them the meal.
That's kind of a good one too.
That's sometimes a good idea. Been my own. So I'm like, hey, this is from Naptime Kitchen. I am Naptime Kitchen. So it's not, like, totally sketchy.
I mean, coming from you,
at least they know what's in it.
Yeah. Coming from you, like, even though that family didn't know you, like, once she follows you and she realizes who you are.
No, you have credentials.
If Naptime Kitchen gave me soup instead of creamy enchiladas that she made, I would feel so robbed.
I would feel robbed, too.
I know. I think, you know, a ton of people really, truly don't follow me, so I don't think they know who I am. But that's kind of how I do it. I feel that sometimes, so Kelly. But you know, especially, and you, I know you've said that with your chicken pot pie that you, like, order. I have found, like, 2 to 3 places in Charleston that are, like, awesome bakeries that do a really good quiche. One does a really good breakfast casserole. And sometimes I'll go, there's one in Mount Pleasant called Kudzu, that none of that matters, but I'll go and I'll drop, like, $200 buying 5 breakfast casseroles and just being like, I'm going to stick all of these in my freezer. Just to, like,
no, it's such a good idea. Like, I need to get my life together.
You know,
I don't have my life together.
Well, anymore. I also have you have a deep freezer.
Yeah, I have a literally, like, a basically empty deep freezer. Like, I need to do that.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
If I'm going to make the trip to a place like a bakery, like, and they have something good like that, especially if it's already frozen and I'm buying it frozen, I'm going to buy a lot of them. And then it's so easy. And just like you were saying, Liz, like, that's a breakfast food. I can just drop that off with some berries and I've, like, probably given them breakfast for 2 days.
Yeah.
And they love it.
So when you bring people a meal, Do you usually do just like the tin trays, or what do you serve it in?
I do. I always do the tin trays, and I either do like, I have some 9x13, I have some 8x8, but I'm kind of, if ever I'm doubling a recipe, I'm putting the second one in a tin tray. And whenever my mom and I batch cook, we're doing it, like we're doing them all in tin trays.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, I don't want the person to have to return a dish to me.
No, I don't.
Plus, if you're freezing it, like you can't use your glass, you can't put your glass one in the freezer for months. Like you need it to use it.
No, I agree. Yes. That to have like someone else's dish like out. Oh, this is a great tip I learned from Kate though. The return basket. Do you know about this one?
No.
Kate, can I have the floor?
Yeah.
It's your tip, but I just, it's your tip. So Kate's over there just, she was always just like, I don't think she realizes how her ideas are so mind-blowing to me, but she just says, oh, you need a return basket. So it's like, if you it's something that has to return to the store, something you have to return to a person, it all goes in one basket.
I would need
more than a basket because I always have people's crap in my house. Uh-huh. But like, it's just, it's a thing that has a place.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's just a good tip. So anyway, I would hate to have a casserole dish though fill up my return basket till the next time I see the person.
Yes. And I always like, I usually have a note that I have written before I leave the house that is like a checklist for me, because normally like certain items are in the fridge or, you know, so I'll have a list that says like enchiladas, salad, lime, cilantro, cookies, so that before I leave the house, I make sure that I've like grabbed everything from the random places, you know, put it all in one bag. So that helps me a lot too, so that I don't like leave the salad dressing or something like that that's in the fridge.
So what, so another etiquette question is, do you, is this a drop in? Is this a, hey, I'm going to come Tuesday? Or is this a, hey, what day can I bring you a meal? Like, what do you think is the best way to do it?
So, I mean, being in the South, we do a lot more probably like meal trains where you really are signing up for a day on someone's meal train. Do y'all do meal train?
No.
Never
heard of it.
Oh, I've done like one in my life.
Really?
I've never heard of a meal train.
Mind blowing. Oh my gosh. Meal train in the, I mean, where we are, it's like, if somebody has a baby, like there is a meal train. And so it's a website that shows like all their available days.
Oh my
gosh. Then you like click and sign up for the day and you can tell them what you're bringing and you can look and see what other people are bringing so that you make sure that you're not like the fourth person
amazing.
To bring
spaghetti.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I mean, it's like mealtrain.com. Is just I did know that this was a Southern thing because I've had people before be like, this is so foreign to me, and I'm like, wow, this is like the air that we breathe.
Mealtrain.com.
So Mealtrain is super popular. But then so yeah, a lot of times it's Mealtrain, or I will just say, can I bring you dinner, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Mm-hmm. I try and be super, super
specific.
Or else people will be like, no, we're like, if I'm like,
yeah,
could you take dinner in the future? They'll normally be like, no, we're fine. But if I say like,
yeah,
you know, can I bring it at this time? And then I normally bring it in the afternoon with heating instructions versus hot, because it's just difficult for me to be out and about when it's like dinner time. And so I'll bring it like in the middle of the afternoon.
And do you bring it, if it is a freezer meal, do you bring it frozen or do you try to bring it thawed ready for dinner that night?
So it depends. If it is coming out of my freezer, I will normally, I like know the person, I'll be like, do you want to eat it this week? And if they do, I'll bring it defrosted.
That's
like,
so kind.
Out of my freezer.
That is so kind.
And put it into my fridge. If I'm not sure, I might bring it to them frozen for them to be able to put it right back into their freezer.
Yeah.
If I'm not sure if they're going to like want it right now or something. But normally I try and bring it defrosted, like ready for them.
Obsessed.
So
my sister-in-law does something so fun for their, my sister-in-law is an amazing cook, an amazing baker. She's very naptime kitchen adjacent. And we have a big dinner auction every year and she donates to the dinner auction a meal a month in April. So one family buys they buy it and then she will deliver one homemade meal a week for 4 weeks straight. And it will be like, she does. I bought it 1 year. And like, everyone's like, you bought your sister-in-law's? Yes. Because it included a homemade dessert, homemade bread, fruit, and an entire meal and alcohol to pair with it. So like, if it was like an Italian theme, she also had a bottle of wine. Oh, it goes for big.
How much does it go for?
Do you want to tell me what I paid?
Yeah.
700. It was for a good cause. It was for a good cause.
It's always supposed to go more than what
it was
worth.
For a good cause. And it was easily two meals for my family. And the way the dinner auctions this weekend, I'm considering. It is. I need it for the new house.
Oh, Kelly.
It is so.
Kelly, you absolutely.
It, guys. Yeah. And if you are that person, you should consider that. Like if you have that kind of auction that you could donate it to, because it is. Oh, she like has the in the basket has the menu printed with all of the alcohol.
Wait, I kind of want it. I mean, I can't have the alcohol, but like
We got a bidding war between
the two. Yeah. And so she arranges the pickup and like has, I mean, it is, it's just, it's a good idea. And it's very, yeah, I would love to. I might honestly, I'll let you guys know if I bid on it.
Yeah. Please.
I will make sure it at least goes for that.
Yeah.
And then if someone else wants to, yeah. I'll at least make sure it goes for that. Cause it is definitely worth that.
And, you know, I think too, like, because it sounds like, you know, your sister-in-law like loves to bake. I think any way that you can make this fun for yourself, like when I think about you, Liz, I'm like, I know you're trying to perfect the sourdough cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
I'm like, if you got to the place where you were like, I'm really great at these and I can make like three pans at once. And yeah. You have like two pans in your freezer and your fun thing that you take someone is like a pan of cinnamon rolls.
No, then you're that girl.
Then I'm the cinnamon fruit. Roll girl.
And everyone's like, oh, I'm so excited. You know, like, or you're.
I just like, said I like to do breakfast food.
I know. I'm telling you. Or like you, I know you like to bake. So you could be like, I take someone store-bought soup and homemade bread.
Yeah.
And they love it because like, it's so, too. You know, so I feel like if you can play into what you're good at and what you already enjoy. Like I have one friend who brings this it's homemade pasta, but it's not hers. She like buys it from a local pasta shop.
But she's the pasta girl.
It is her go-to.
She's the pasta girl.
You look forward to it. And I don't care that she bought it from a store. Like it's actually, you know, she's like, she brings homemade pasta sauce and homemade pasta that she buys. She goes to this pasta store and buys like a lot of it to fill her freezer. And that's like,
no,
when someone needs something, that's what she gives.
That's the hack. And that is what I'm doing this month. Like, I am putting some stuff in my freezer to bring to people or to bring to myself. No matter what I end up doing with it, I want to be a mom who's prepared.
Yeah.
You can't be a mom of four and not have some freezer meals. Like, what am I doing? Oh my gosh, I'm so inspired.
This is such a good conversation.
Nothing inspires me more.
Well, Kelly, you've had a lot going on, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you know what would have been made? You know what? Kate, it would have been easier if I would have had some freezer meals. Let me be clear. And I think I will continue to have a lot going on, so I better just get on it.
Yes, it really helps me. And I know sometimes it can be hard to think about, like, especially let's say a quiche. You go to a bakery and the quiche is $20 and you're like, oh, this is like would be so much cheaper to make at home. But you really have to value the cost of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes and be like, you know what? I'm here. I can buy two of these. And on the night that we eat quiche instead of ordering takeout, we've actually saved money.
No, so, Kate,
so valid. Is,
you know,
it's giving financial advisor. Like, she's so right. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I could talk about this like all day. I live for this kind of stuff.
No, same. I'm like, I'm loving this. I'm so inspired. So if you guys are interested in getting this whole list of meals you can take to your neighbor, you can go to naptimekitchen.com.
Yeah.
And just put in your email and then it gets emailed to you.
Yep.
Easy day.
Yeah.
Well, Kate, while we have you, Easter is coming up. It's right around the corner. It kind of crept up on us in March. So I am dying to know what your Easter family traditions are and like what you're prepared for.
So our biggest thing, people that know this always laugh because we go to my grandmother's house. So like my kids go to their great grandmother's house.
Wow.
And ever since I was young, she has done these like pretty epic Easter egg hunts. And there is a hunt for there was three hunts when I was younger. There was like a kid's hunt, an intermediate hunt, and an adult hunt. And now like everyone's older. So there's basically like a kid's hunt and an adult hunt. But the adult hunt is very competitive. There's not a ton of eggs. They have really good prizes. And it was like cutthroat. There was a funny story they used to tell where my like uncle pushed over my pregnant aunt in the fight for it, like getting to an egg. So that's like something I always think. And my kids are like thinking about going to Mama's house for the Easter egg hunt. And their eggs have like candy and stuff, but the adult eggs are way more like better prizes.
Like what?
It might just be like it might be a gift card.
Okay.
If you get a you know, a gift card to Starbucks, and she won't hide, like there'll be a piece of paper in the egg. We learned the hard way not to hide the prize in the egg because some eggs were never found.
Oh my God. No,
that is just gone.
And your grandmother is hiding them?
I think she hires out like my uncle or somebody hides the eggs.
Okay.
But they're well hidden and you have like a limit, like you can't get more than a certain amount, but even if multiple people hit the limit, then some people like won't find any. So that is that's a big part of our Easter, is going to Memes for the Easter egg hunts.
That is so
sweet.
When
I was a kid, I mean, we like lived for it. I changed into tennis shoes for
obsessed.
That's amazing. So.
Okay, what about y'all? Sweet. I know you do. Tell everybody about the string thing if you haven't.
Yeah, so
the
Easter bunny would come to our house when we would grow up. And so there was five of us, and there would be this, we'd wake up, we'd walk out our door, and there would just be string everywhere. It's like you imagine in TV shows where they have those like lasers in a room that are protecting a jewel, and you have to like throughout
it. Perfect, Elizabeth.
That is what our house would look like. And there's five of us. So there's five different colored string going in every which direction. We find the starting point. So there was a starting point where we all began, and we each had our own color, and it said our name by it. And we had to follow the string throughout the house to figure out where the Easter bunny put our basket. It would take us outside, it would take us upstairs, it would take us just like in one room, right out immediately. Like it took us all over the house. And so you can just imagine just like five kids like rolling up this string trying to figure out where it is. And then, you know, usually it would be hidden in some like funny spot, like in the oven or on the toilet or like something ridiculous like that.
It was so.
One year, Sydney and Grayson opened up a cabinet and two bunnies hopped out.
Yeah, real bunnies.
Real bunnies.
That was a fun Easter.
So that has always been like just the sweetest memory.
Yeah.
So that's what I guess you're going to do it this year, Kel.
Yeah. The Easter bunny has been doing string, and I think I've written to them. He?
Him?
She? I've written to the Easter bunny, and I said we could step it up a notch.
Okay.
I think we're ready. I think we're ready for the next level. Like let's go outside. Let's have the to-do. So that's a really big part of it. And then we're really big like golden egg families.
Mm-hmm.
So like we do like the Easter egg hunt, but I've actually recently brought the golden egg to Tyler's family because we still all go to Tyler's grandma's house. This woman has 40 great grandchildren who all show up. And we do so the great grandchildren do an Easter egg hunt. But last year we did the golden egg with $20 in it. First of all, Easter egg hunts are just such a hack for parents wanting to like enjoy the holiday.
Truly. Like
time consuming.
Hide the eggs better. Like not going long enough. Oh, I think there's still some more out there. Like it's the one thing I don't like about Easter is like, what's the weather? You're either going to have the best Easter ever or the rainiest. You might not have this, Kate, or the rainiest, coldest Easter ever.
Or it might snow.
Yeah. Or it might snow.
You never know.
Truly.
Yeah. It's usually warm for us. But
Do you know, Kate, we're actually going to Charleston. We'll be there in May. I need to send you the date.
Oh, I think you did. I think I know it. I have it on my calendar.
Okay. Because I think we're free on Saturday if you want to hang out.
Yeah. I have it on my calendar in all caps.
Oh, good.
Well, this will be great because, Kate, before you got on, Kelly said, she like asked the question, if you could have dinner with one person that are alive, who would it be? And she said you. So I think that like maybe her dream could come true.
Oh my gosh, Kelly, I would love it. You're so kind. I won't say it in case you're trying to be private about it, but it is in all caps on my calendar.
Good, good, good.
Yeah. I can't wait. I know I think you're there for a wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just like, how much time can I get that you don't have to?
Well, the wedding's on Saturday. We fly.
No, it's on Sunday.
No, the wedding's on Sunday. We fly in Saturday morning. So like, let's hang out Saturday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love it.
If
you want to skip the wedding and just hang out.
Well, we'll see how my joints are feeling. Honestly, it's black tie. I don't think my compression socks will go. I might not be able
to make it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Okay. One more meal adjacent Easter question. Yes. And then we'll wrap this up. So what do you feel like is, like, if I'm or whenever someone's hosting an event, like, do you always reach out and say, like, what can I bring? Do you offer to bring something? That's something that I always struggle with. Like, are my sister-in-law is having, like, one of my nephew's birthday parties, or, like, you know, grandma's doing Easter. Like, what do you guys do to organize that?
Okay, so this is funny. Well, I have definitely been, like, trained. It is ingrained in me that when I, like, respond to something, I say, like, I would love to, what can I bring? So I always try and say that. And so, you know, like, for my grandmother doing Easter, I was like, as it gets closer, like, please let me know what would be most helpful for me to bring. I do think if you're listening and you are a, like, mom of younger kids, my best hack is I always offer to bring something for, like, something easy for the kids, because it doubles helps me. So I'll be like, hey, I'll bring, like, cut up peanut butter and jellies, or I'm like, in case the meal isn't great for my kids, I can bring something I know they'll like, but I'll bring, like, a lot of them for, like, all the kids to get to eat.
Yeah, I always bring Costco mac and cheese. Like, on the repeat.
Yes. So I think having, if you're like, I'll bring, you know, cut up fruit and sandwiches for the kids, you're also blessing yourself, because then you're not going to go home with hungry kids that are then, like, wanting another meal. So I normally, I don't think it hurts at all to ask. And if they say, we're good, you've offered. But if they say, like, actually it'd be great if you would bring this, then you've, you know, I feel like it never hurts to just offer to bring something.
Something that we do on Tyler's side of the family that really helps organize it is we send out, like, a shared note to each other. So, like, we have our Easter coming up, and I guess, like, in the iPhone app, I think you'll have to have iPhones, unfortunately. But then if you can go into the shared notes, and it's like, you know, family Easter, grandpa is purchasing fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. And then Kelly goes, I said, I'll do berries and oranges. But that's because I know I'm in my berry and orange era.
Yeah.
Some days I offer to do more.
Someone has to.
And then so then everyone else is filling out, like, oh, I'll bring green beans. Oh, I'll bring, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So that's helpful.
Also, don't sell yourself short, because as we've been discussing, berries are a high commodity. I mean, you're basically saying you're a millionaire.
Yeah, ain't cheap. It's kind of a flex, actually.
You know what? I'll bring berries for everyone.
Berries? Organic. Berries for 40 great-grandchildren is actually a pretty big flex.
So. No, that's a different side of this. That's a difference, but this is a different family. I would not offer for that family. We eat, like, apples and grapes on that family. Canned pineapple for all. Yeah.
Also, I have got to say, I have always felt that your family is so special. Like, it's, you know, I've, like, learned about your family, heard about your family, like, for years now, it feels like. But I am just learning so much about Tyler's family.
Yeah.
And is his mother Barbara?
Yeah, Barb. Mm-hmm.
Barb. Yeah. And I'm just like, she just seems, I don't know, I'm just.
You would love her.
I'm here for Tyler's family. It's just great.
You would love her. And actually, this is so funny. I meant to text this to you. But my sister-in-law group, this is really, like, a stumpy heavy episode. My sister-in-law texted your recent post of the, like, of your mom's house, like, making it welcome for the siblings. And she texted it to all of us with Barb, because Barb is that person. So, like, if you don't know the post, it's worth going to look up. I mean, you're such a good writer, but basically it goes, the moment, I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, this is from Naptime Kitchen. The moment my siblings and I started having kids, even before I had moved back to Charleston, my parent made it a point to make their home as easy as possible for us to visit. They got a crib, they got a monitor, they had diapers in every size. And she just, like, says all the things that her mom has done. Yeah. And that is so Barb. When I send my kids to her house, I don't pack a thing. And you know what? And then she'll send them back in washed clothes, freshly bathed. She's just like, she's so good at that.
It's the sweetest. I love it.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
Yeah, Barb's like, send me your kids and also any dirty laundry you have.
No, Barb will just take my laundry. And you know what? At first I was like, oh, that feels weird, like my bras. And now I'm like, that would be so helpful.
<Thank you. laughs> Appreciate it. Oh my gosh.
She's a queen.
So anyway. All right. Well, is that our episode?
I think so.
Kind of jam-packed.
Ditch the drive-through. Go look it up. Go sign up for the email.
If you need to ditch the drive-thru after this episode,
I can't help you.
You need a way.
I think the ditch the drive-thru is next time you're at, like, a place that sells something pre-made that you love, you buy it for your freezer. No,
the way I'm so mad at myself, because again, I'm always telling you, I need these Costco mac and cheeses. Imagine if I
bought them ahead of time.
Imagine if I bought 3 of them and put them in my freezer.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, that's just where I don't realize how stupid I am. I'm making life so hard. Ugh.
Well,
I'm doing it.
Well, you're making life so easy for a lot of us in a million ways. So
well, that's, thank you.
Thinking,
that's,
you're thinking for a lot of people.
That's very kind. But no, I'm inspired. I'm going to go buy some frozen quiches and maybe bring one to you, Elizabeth. Stay tuned.
Oh my gosh. Can't wait. All right. Well, thank you, Kate.
She's going to bring you cinnamon rolls. So.
Yeah. Well, those take a little bit more than a homemade quiche or a store-bought quiche. But Kate, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for listening to the Carpool Podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.